everyone, welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Now, today's episode will be titled Confessions of a Retro Gamer. Now, this episode is going to be slightly different to what we're used to. It's not going to be based on a particular game. It's not going to have a co-host where we go back and forth and banter about our memories of retro gaming. It's going to be more of a journey from the present back into the past, and it's going to just hopefully explain why I am a retro gamer, and hopefully you guys can relate to some of those memories. Now, let's quickly start at the present to begin off with. Now, as many of you know, I'm Andy Godoy. I'm the host, producer, or editor, whatever you want, of the Retro Asylum podcast and site. And the reason why I created the site and the podcast is because I'm a huge fan of retro gaming. I love retro gaming. It's something that I'm really strong and passionate about. Now, sometimes, from time to time, I go out there and I meet people like friends and families who aren't into this. And sometimes we get talking and they ask me, what are you into? And I don't, it's not normally the first thing I say. No, once you really start talking to people, but so many people have a misconception about what retro gaming is all about, because I normally find the main responses from a lot of people is, aren't you a bit old to play games? They're saying, but isn't games a thing for kids? You know, haven't you got anything better to do? My answer to that is no. And let me quickly explain the reason why I hate that answer, because there's such a misconception. I mean, even like now, me and my wife, she doesn't quite get my hobby, which I'm into. She doesn't quite understand that. I'll go into that a little bit more later on in the podcast, once I travel back in time a little bit. But yeah, retro gaming is who I am, it's what I am. And so you can get more of an idea why I feel so strongly about statements like that that upset me. To go back in time a little bit, back into the early 80s, possibly about 83, 84, I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And my first memory of retro gaming was with my older brother, who was a teen. And in the early 80s, a lot of teens hung out in the arcades. And one day he was babysitting me. He got lumbered with me, basically. And he took me along on this trip to the arcades. And it's a little bit vague, and maybe I'm slightly exaggerating things through nostalgia, but what I remember is walking into this building. It was like a hall. There was loads of arcade machines everywhere. There was smoke. I don't know why there was kids smoking. Maybe there was some adults there as well smoking. But you could hear the music, you could hear the sound effects of the arcade games, and in a way, everyone was transfixed onto the screens there. I just remember all these kids, they seemed like big kids to me at the time because I was only little, but just standing in front in full gaze of the machines. And it was just a mind-blowing experience, and this is something we won't ever see again, I don't think. You know, we won't ever experience things like that. Now, the first game I truly remember actually seeing was Space Invaders. My brother went over to play Space Invaders, and it was this huge arcade cabinet, and it just stunned me. To this day, it's ingrained in my memory for the fact that the amazing flyer art with the big sort of alien human type invader standing there, and the way it was done, it's still, in my opinion, one of the best logos ever for a game. Fantastic artwork. And then I looked at the screen, you know, tiptoeing up there, and I could see it, and it was amazing. Now, although looking at it now, the graphics are really simple and basic, seeing it through my eyes as a little kid, I was just blown away by it, because from the cover art, I built this imagination storyline that really helped enhance my overall visual and audio experience. To me, that it said it all. Space Invaders, you know, the Earth was under attack by some alien invaders, and it was up to us to save it. And that really just drew me into the game itself. And as I watched my brother play, you know, the little spaceship at the bottom and the alien waves sort of moving from left to right, the little sound effects it makes, the, you know, the sound effects when the they drop the missiles at you, when you shoot at them, when the bullets that they're trying to shoot at you, you dive under those guard base things, you know, like to take shelter. And it was so epic, it really was. And to this day, it really is one of my favorite games. It's an absolutely classic, Space Invaders. It's all about skill, I'm not very good at it, but that was what got me hooked into gaming and what's become now retro gaming. Now, the next game that I played on that same day was Mario Brothers. Now, Mario Brothers was the follow-up to Donkey Kong. Now, I don't actually remember playing Donkey Kong until a good few years later, but for me, Nintendo struck gold with this game. It appealed to kids on many different levels. It appealed to kids for the fact that the graphics were pretty nice, and they still look pretty decent to this time. And it was a two-player game, and it was the bright colors. Mario looked pretty similar to the way he looks now. The outfit is somewhat different, but you can tell that is Mario. And for me, two little, you know, controllable characters, they're bright colored, it's very cartoony, it's very simple, it's very easy to get into. And I played this with my brother, and again, I was so addicted to this. It seemed a lot larger, it seemed a lot more bigger and grander back in the day. I just remember sort of running along underneath the platforms, jumping up, hitting the turtles, while my brother jumped up, kicked the turtle off the platform, and then just sometimes we were, you know, just about to get killed, when my brother would hit the big block in the middle thing, and that would turn them all upside down, and you'd have to get there in time. And it was just such an amazing game. So yeah, that was my first memory of gaming. Now, my next memory of gaming was a couple of, well, it was a good while later. Again, I was with like another family member, because I'm the youngest of seven, and this time it was my sister. I think this is one of the times she met her husband, but they were just dating at the time, and she took me along, and my brother-in-law, well, future brother-in-law, his sister basically gave me a little machine to play. And I played it at their house, and it was a Pong machine. And I cannot remember the make or the name of this Pong machine, but I was blown away, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, you had the normal Pong, where it was just a bat and ball, and that was just the most amazing thing ever at the time. I loved it. It really felt like I was playing tennis against someone. You know, it had these little dial things that you'd turn, and what was connected, the little controller was, it looked like a phone cable, the old sort of curly whirly ones, and they attached to this little console thing, and you'd turn it and it just moved, and there was me playing something like a video game in my own home. It amazed me. And it had different variations of Pong. It had hockey, which had an extra couple of paddles, and it had another one which I can't quite remember. But I used to love playing this. So my brother-in-law's sister gave me this machine, and I was so happy. My sister took me home. The first thing I remember is wanting to show this off to my dad. I plugged this in, me and my dad gave it a go, and the good thing was that you could play this by yourself as well, so you could fight against the AI, compete against the AI I should say. And it was amazing. And it was just the memory of just the black screen, the white little paddles, the sounds it used to make when it used to hit the paddles, you know, this little bleeping, and then it would go to the other side. And I really felt like I was playing tennis or hockey or whatever. I just absolutely loved that game. So that was my first proper home console. And I really wish I knew the name of it, because if I did, I would actually pick one up and buy one from eBay. Now let's move forward a little bit more. Maybe I was about six or seven. My brother, again, being a bit of a geek, he got himself a ZX80. Now, I don't really remember him doing much of it. Maybe he tried to write programs, but he got himself a ZX80. But it wasn't until he got himself the ZX81 with the 16K memory thing that went onto the back, which really impressed me and drew me towards it, because not only could you program some basic games, you could actually load up some, you know, tape games. And I loved that. I would sit there with my brother and I would wait for these games to be loads, you know, to load up. And two of my favorite games that I'll always stick in my mind is a game called Mazox, which I believe now was done by Don Presley. You're in a maze and there's these things around. It's absolutely amazing. Back in the day, I was really terrified of this game. It really scared me because I knew something was going to get me at some point somewhere down the line. The other game that I absolutely loved, and I've even done a review of this recently, is called Rocket Man. And Rocket Man, it's like a pre-Chucky egg. It's the same sort of platform ladders. You've got to go around collecting gas canisters to fuel up your rocket. And the rocket's at the top. It had elements of Chucky Egg, Donkey Kong. You get chased by this big, giant bubble. And once you've collected your rocket, you've got to navigate to the left of the screen, collect your treasure, and try and avoid the baddies. And it was just so addictive. And this was the first time I was getting really impressed with the cassette inlays, because the Rocket Man inlay is one that I remember the most. It was some guy in a with a rocket pack, and there was this big bubble creature chasing after him, and the artwork really sold it to me. And I think, yeah, that is when I thought, I'll actually, you know, I want to play more of this. And eventually, you know, my brother used to let me play this. You know, he'd load up the games for me. Sometimes he'd even make me type up certain, you know, codes, so you know, you'd have it all in a book or a magazine and I'll type it out for him. You know, a lot of the time we'd spend ages doing it, but a lot of the time it didn't work, but it just felt interesting. It felt like I was doing something different. It was different to the toys I used to play at, because I could interact with these things on screen. It would immerse me in a different world, you know, rather than just use my imagination. All right, so let's move forward another good couple of years. There must have been about 8 years old, and my mum got me an Atari. Now, for years and years and years and years, I've wondered what Atari machine it wasn't. It wasn't Atari 2600. It wasn't the other one. It was actually an Atari Junior, which was a scaled down version. And that was a beautiful looking machine. I'll always remember how amazing that machine looks, and how amazing to this day it looks. It's like a black bit of plastic with a metal, silvery steel strip down the middle. And the joysticks were really interesting. They were like a remote control with a joystick right at the top, the buttons on either side of the bottom of the control pad. And I was blown away by this. I mean, I was lucky to have quite a lot of games because, again, my brothers are a lot older. And because I'm the youngest one, I was spoiled quite a lot by my brothers and by my parents. So I used to get a good couple of games every couple of weeks. And some of these games were games that I was familiar with. There were games I had seen and played in the arcades. Games like Donkey Kong and Mario Brothers and Moon Patrol. These were games that I would see in the arcades. And it was amazing having to go home. And I could play this, you know, in my own living room. And if you look at these games now, they're really basic, really simple looking. But again, it was a whole world. It was a whole different experience, which I don't know whether I'll actually ever get back. It's just something that I've lost, you know, as an adult. But as a child, getting that game, I didn't have a say of what game I would get. It's probably my brother who'd tell my parents what to get, or he would get for me. But you'd get the box, and it would have some amazing artwork, and you instantly would recognize and you could relate to that. And then the next thing, I think you'd open up the thing and you'd get like the instruction manual, and you'd plug the game in, and the game was instant. None of this loading like the ZX81 or anything. It was just instant, and it was in full color. And to me, it's arcade equal. At the time, maybe it's because I was little, I couldn't tell the difference, but I love playing some of these games. And some of my favorite games I have mentioned on a previous podcast, like Dragon's Fire, Oink, River City Ransom, I think it was called, Spider-Man. There were loads of classic games, Popeye, Moon Patrol, Jungle Hunt. I loved the Atari 2600. I thought it was a superb machine. I really just got some great memories of it. Now, this is when I used to live in Scotland with my family, and then we moved to London. And I remember sort of saying to my mum, where's my Atari? And she said, oh, I gave it away to your cousins, to your young cousins, because you're a bit old to be playing these. And I must have cried. And that probably showed to her and to my dad that I wasn't grown up enough, that I needed to play with these things, because I was a hyperactive kid, and these video games kept me settled down for a good hour or two, because otherwise I'd be running around like a maniac annoying the hell out of everyone. So soon afterwards, I think later on that year, I was lucky enough to be given, I think, a Spectrum Plus 2. Maybe it was a year or two afterwards, actually. It's kind of hard to remember. I think it must have been, because I was still in primary school. And I was upset. Now, I know that sounds kind of ungrateful, but some of my friends at school had the C64, and even one of my cousins had a C64, and I wanted a C64. It was full color, and they used to tease people, and my friends used to tease people that had a ZX Spectrum. I didn't want a ZX Spectrum. I wanted the cool machine. I wanted the game that had full colors. But you know what? It was given to me, so I had to sort of like stand there with a big smile on my face and go, yeah, I love it. And I had to figure out how to load it. And the Spectrum I got came with 6 free games. And they weren't the greatest games. I think the games were Punch and Judy, Oh Mummy, and a bunch of other games I can't quite remember. I get a Treasure Island was probably the best game on that collection. It wasn't the greatest game. It really wasn't. All these games weren't the greatest games. But those were the games I had, so they kept me going for a good month and a bit. And I just remember, again, it was the artwork, opening up the game itself, reading the instructions while the game's loaded up. And at first, yeah, you know, the first couple of games were in full color because they didn't really have a lot. They were very simple, so they could have that. There was the problem of color clash, but hey, I soon looked past that. And then later on, because the Spectrum did have budget games and full price games, my dad used to buy me a bunch of, you know, budget games, because they were only $1.99 at the time. And slowly but surely, I started building up my collection. And once every month as well, he'd buy me a full price game, which a lot of the time were arcade conversions. And looking at them now, they're very, very basic and very scaled down. But I could appreciate the gameplay of the majority of the time was there. So I'd look past the monochrome graphics, I'd look past the simple music compared to the arcade game. But it was the closest way I could get to playing arcade games. And I loved it. I love my Spectrum. To this day, it probably is the greatest machine that I've actually ever owned. And it's a machine I spend the majority of the time playing games on. Really, truly love it. And it was around that time as well, you know, playing all these arcade games, which were normally converted or published by Ocean. I loved them. But there was one game in particular that really... Well, no, there was a good couple of games, actually. Let me start again. The first game that I think was Chucky Egg, that was one of the games that really just wowed me. I had played it before my cousin's Amstrad and my other cousin's C64. And I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved those games. And then the other game that those guys both had was Bruce Lee, which was published by US Gold. I can't remember who made it, but that probably has to be one of the best games ever. To this day, I still give that game a go because it's so damn addictive. It's multiplayer. It's very basic, but it's so damn addictive. Now, there is a remake of that that was done by a bunch of guys. I can't remember the top of my head who did that, called Ultimate Bruce Lee. And I highly recommend that you check that game out because it is superb. Probably one of my favorite remakes ever. But yeah, and like I mentioned before, there was one game that really got me into a certain company and really made me a Spectrum fan, and that was Dizzy. Now, the first time I played this was at my cousin Alex's house, and he said to me, "Oh, Andy, you're gonna love this game." And he was a good couple years older than me. I think he was about 4 or 5 years older than me, and he loaded up this game, and I was like, "Wow, it's an egg with boxing gloves, and he's standing on top of this ice palace type thing, well, ice structure, and he's looking into this kingdom, staring into the distance." And I read the instructions, and it was about the evil wizard Zax and all that. And I loved this game. It had bright colors. It had this cute little character that wiggled its arms, somersaulted all over the place. And I loved it. Absolutely loved this game. I loved this game so much that as soon as we came back from my cousin's house, I said to my dad, "Please, please, 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 can I buy this game?" And we ended up going to Woolworths, where he ended up buying me this game. And again, I relived that same experience. And it was then I could see the graphical differences. I actually preferred the way the Spectrum version looked of Dizzy. There was that less green tint to Dizzy. For some reason, Dizzy on the Amstrad was tinted with a bit of green. And it looked a little bit odd. It felt at home on the Spectrum. And that, you know, intro music as well was just amazing. I loved it. And I sort of pressed the space bar because that's the way I used to play it on the keyboard, because I'd broken lots of joysticks on certain games like Daily Thompson's Decathlon. And I started my adventure in Dizzy, and that's when I became a huge Dizzy fan and a huge fan of Codemasters and also the Oliver Twins. So from then on, if I was going to get a budget game, I would get mostly Codemasters, because I love the way they marketed the games. It was like a simulator, arcade simulator, super stunt car simulator. And it was ingenious the way they did it, the artwork behind it as well. And in the back as well, it would say actual Spectrum graphics. And even though the graphics weren't that great, because it was done in that particular font and the little jagged sort of writing, I was like, wow, you know? I need to get this game. And I followed certain programmers, you know, like the Oliver Twins, to try to get all their games. And it was also around that time I tried, you know, I started getting other games like the Ocean games, the big budget games. And I'd love playing my arcade games, you know. I'd play like Shadow Warriors, Bionic Commando, and all those like Rastan, Outrun. And I truly loved it, you know. It's a fantastic machine. And I think it was probably about a year or two later, I ended up getting myself an Amstrad, which was given to me by an older brother, and a C64, which I think was probably given to me by an auntie, because like my other cousin basically was getting too old for it, so it was handed down to me. Now, although I would play these games, I would still the majority of the time play the ZX Spectrum. Now, there was something back in the 80s playground that you would either swap games or you would copy games for other kids. And yeah, that's one of the things we used to do. We used to copy games, so we used to sort of like on cassette tapes. So it would be really interesting. I'd do a whole bunch of games, hand it over to my friend. My friend would do me a nice little collection. And that's how we got to experience and play loads of other games. Now, moving on, I think about a year or two later, my next machines that I actually owned was probably the Sega Master System. And this took me away from the ZX Spectrum. It really did, because I loved my arcade games at that time. I loved especially Sega. And that's what the Sega Master System thrived upon. Sega ports, because it was a Sega machine after all. Now, the NES was around the same time, but over here in the UK, it wasn't as popular as the Master System, because I think the NES games were more expensive. And I don't think Nintendo put as much time advertising as it did in the States. And Sega, you know, got that foot in the door, and they managed to sell loads of games. Now, I got the original Sega Master System, which came with a light gun and I think two control pads. Now, the games that were built in was Super Hang-On and Safari Hunt. Now, I used to love playing Safari Hunt. I used to think it was so accurate and everything. It's really basic. Super Hang-On, again, it's a scaled-down version of the arcade game. It's okay, but I used to play that for ages. But it was the music. The music just really blew me away. And it looked close enough to the arcade, and it was a huge leap from the ZX Spectrum, which made me appreciate this game. Now, my next couple of games that I got was like a little memory card game, which was, I can't remember what it's called, Dracula's Castle. It's all this little kid with a big head, and you were in Dracula's Castle. I cannot remember the name of this game, guys. It really escapes me. You know, maybe one of you guys can remember. Enduro Racer was another game I had. Rastan was superb. Ghostbusters. And yeah, for years and years and years, I used to love that. And I recently gave away my Sega Master System that I used to own with all my library of games. I gave it to Guru Larry, because I remember about a year and a bit ago, he said he had lost a lot of his games due to, because he was storing them in a shed. So I sent them over my things, because I didn't think that I was going to carry on collecting games. And, you know, I know he would appreciate it, and we didn't have enough room. So I gave him like my Sega Master System. Now, moving forward in time a little bit more, I ended up getting myself a Super Nintendo. Now, I must have been 15 when I got my Super Nintendo and Mega Drive. And I know this because I had myself like a little summertime job. My first summertime job was working in a motorbike shop, cleaning the motorbikes. And I didn't get paid a lot. It was probably about 50 quid a week here and there. But what I'd do with that game was, basically, I bought myself a Super Nintendo. Because I think at that point, my mum said to me, you know, you're old enough, you know, if you want to get yourself these things, you have to work for it. You need to do something. So I did. I ended up getting myself a job sort of like on the Saturdays or like when I was on holidays from school, to buy myself these consoles. And maybe I appreciated these games a lot more for that reason. But first of all, I got the Super Nintendo, and I was wowed by this, truly wowed by it. I absolutely loved it. I was blown away by the Super Nintendo. It was a huge leap from the 8-bit machines, and with amazing games like Super Mario World, which is, to me, is probably the greatest Mario game ever. You know, it looks amazing to this day. And this was before, you know, Super Nintendo relied on, you know, well, before Nintendo started moving on to 3D technology. This was the last proper 2D system they had. And I think all the games have aged amazingly. They really have. And yeah, so I really loved that. I bought myself Royal Rumble, Super Star Wars, Alien 3. And then I started renting games out as well, or maybe borrowing games from friends. Now, I also had heard so much about the Mega Drive because of Sonic, and I had the scaled down versions of certain Mega Drive games on the Master System, like Castle of Illusion and Sonic, and I wanted to try the actual 16-bit versions. So I bought myself a Sega Mega Drive, and again, I was wowed. Now, I didn't think the graphics were as great as a Super Nintendo. The audio is questionable in a way where sometimes I prefer the Mega Drive. The sound chip I don't think was as good, but the people behind who programmed certain tracks for the Mega Drive really made it epic, and I really loved it. Now, it was probably about a year or two later, when I was about 16, 17, I ended up getting myself a second-hand NES. Didn't get many games, probably got myself Mario 2, Mario 3, and that's pretty much it, you know. Maybe I'd borrow a game here and there. And by then, I'd already got rid of my sort of backlog of, you know, Spectrum, the SNES, the Mega Drive. And I stopped playing games for a bit because, you know, I was interested in girls. So I was always trying to chat up girls, go out with my friends. But there was still that little bit of a gaming side on me there. I mean, I was working you know, when I was about 18. So I got myself a Sega Saturn, and I loved it. Absolutely thought it was a fantastic machine. You know, really, really great machine. But again, you know, there was more games more geared towards a PS1. It seemed more people made games for the PS1. So I bought myself a PS1. And that's what people say really made gaming cool. It wasn't just geeks in their bedrooms. And I think it was down to thanks to games like Wipeout and Sony's marketing thing as well. Wipeout, they didn't have sort of like, they had cymbals, they had music by some big names at the time. It was a little bit trippy, games like Wipeout. So I remember getting stoned back in the days and actually playing games like that. And I just thought, wow, these games were catered for me. Really appreciated it. And that's when I discovered so many epic games like Metal Gear Solid. I discovered games like Resident Evil. It just really just made me think, wow, this is a system for me. And yeah, Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Now, I think the following year, I got myself an N64. And the N64, what a machine it was. Truly a superb machine. I loved it. I spent £250 for it. I think I got this before my daughter was born. She was born 1996, I think. And yeah, I got this a few months before she was born because I thought, well, I'm not going to have the opportunity to buy things like that in the future, really, because I'm going to be a dad. You know, I was only 19 and I became a dad. And yeah, the games I bought for it was Super Mario 64, Super, what's it called now? Shadows of the Empire, Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, and probably Pilot Wing, the 64. Those are the games I had. And slowly but surely, I built up my collection. And I loved the N64. I was a little bit disappointed because I thought the graphics were going to be way beyond the PlayStation. But I quite enjoyed the controller. And sorry, guys, there. That's just my alarm going off, telling me that I've got to leave to go work in about 10 minutes. So, yeah, let's quickly start wrapping this podcast up. Eventually, after the N64, I got myself a Dreamcast. And then I got myself a GameCube. And throughout those periods, I'd get rid of machines, pick them up again, get rid of the machines, pick them up again. Now, let's move forward now to the present. I'm 35 years old now, and the machines I own now are Spectrum Plus 3, which doesn't work. I own a Sega Dreamcast. I own a GameCube, an N64. And a couple of Game Boys. I do own some of the more modern consoles, like the 360, but I'm not going to really talk about that. And yeah, I think I'm going to start collecting, you know, consoles again. Because the other day I went down to Retro Base in Streatham, and we talked about those guys in a previous podcast, and hopefully we should be interviewing those guys soon. And yeah, I was blown away by all these machines that were there. And in a way, it's, I don't know how to describe it, it's like a photo. Now, if you look at a photo of the past, you can actually remember vaguely what you were doing when it happened. You can vaguely remember the day as it went along. But playing certain consoles and playing certain games really makes you travel back in time, and you experience that whole adventure that you had on that particular game again, and you remember certain things, and you're like, wow. It's like the other day I loaded up Mario 64 on my new N64, and I was like, wow, this game is just as good. And I remembered all the little secrets. I remembered where you could get an extra life. I remembered where certain hidden things were, little shortcuts, and I loved it. And it was a trip down memory lane. And I guess that's the reason why I'm so passionate about retro games, because it's a perfect escape for someone. And especially for me, like I said, I'm 35 years old. I've got two kids from previous relationships. I'm now married, bought a house, mortgage, I do shift work. And there really is little time for me to play games, and even to socialize to a certain extent, to go out, because I do the shift work, a lot of my other friends are out and about doing things, and I can't join them, unfortunately, which in a way is why I'm glad that I started off the Retro Asylum because there's so many amazing people at the Retro Asylum, and I really consider a lot of you guys friends because, you know, I love answering back to your, you know, your forum posts or emails that sometimes you guys send me. And, you know, that's why I want to do more little meetups. And we are planning a really great meetup coming up soon. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that at some point. But, yeah, I'm a retro gamer. I'm not embarrassed about it. I mean, my wife sometimes says she doesn't get why I do it. You know, why I still play games. And I'm like, look, I don't go out, get completely drunk, come home, paralytic at my face. I think last time I did that, I went out with Swainy, and since then, I've not really drank that much ever again. It's just a lot better just to play a game here and there. And it's just, it takes me back to that happy place, that happy time, where things were a lot simpler. And it's nostalgia, it's a wonderful experience. And it just makes the, you know, like, my horrible job more bearable, I guess, you know? And I think I will collect more machines. Let me quickly tell you, before I round this podcast up, what machines I picked up the other day. So I went to Retro Base, was wowed by everything they had there. Amazing guys. I bought myself an N64 with a control pad, Mario 64. I got myself a GameCube control pad and memory stick, because I didn't have that for the GameCube. And I also got myself the Zelda collection. Now, I think next month, I probably will buy myself a Super Nintendo and a Mega Drive. And I don't know how on earth I'm going to have the time to play these games. I don't know how on earth I'm going to have the storage place to put these things. I haven't told my wife I bought myself these things. But I'm going to be a gamer for the rest of my life. I'm proud of who I am. I'm glad that I play these games. It's harmless. It's fun. Anyway, guys, I'm wrapping this podcast up. I'm Andy Godoy. And hopefully you've enjoyed my little rant. Hopefully you guys can relate to this. This has been episode 18 and a half. Guys, please leave us an iTunes review. Subscribe, download on iTunes. Leave us a nice comment on iTunes, because it really helps us get noticed. Big thanks to everyone in the Retro Asylum community and team. I'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.